To order?
Yeah, I've got it set. It's not green.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So next item is board member reports, then public comment, then breakfast. Who would like to go first? Angelica, please proceed.
Real fast, as I mentioned earlier, I did attend at, I don't know, the sixth or seventh convening of multiple please. Members of education communities from four states, and listened to a couple of really great presentations, plus had an opportunity to sit with Colorado folks, and they were several people from school districts, several people from our staff, I can't even remember them all, some from the supporters, the foundations, et cetera, and had some great conversations. Since the districts are now in the implementation stage, the conversations are even more in the weeds, but it was interesting to have the discussions about what's working clearly across the state of Colorado, where in places where folks are very, very confident that this is going very well, to places where they need a whole lot more help. And it's just clear that it's that we're very much in the mess, in the weeds, in the mud of getting schools and teachers to feel comfortable with the evaluation piece. And it was really interesting. The pilot, the 26 pilot districts are much, much stronger in their confidence that this is going to work. And their teachers are super supportive, which I found very, very encouraging. It was a very good session.
It's on.
We don't.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
It's after 5:30. I'll give you that one. Okay.
Give me a drink.
Other
sorry.
Board member reports.
It's okay. You're not going to be really good.
We can move directly then to public comment. Do we have a sign-up sheet? We have a sign-up sheet coming in. Rules are, step to the mic when you are called, introduce yourself, define the organization for which you speak or where you're from, or both. Certainly, if you're not speaking on behalf of an organization, we'd like to know where you're speaking from. Limit yourself to 3 minutes. When you get the stop sign, finish your thought, as long as it's a sentence and not a paragraph, and we're grateful that you're here. First person on the list is, I got to tell you, folks, this is the messiest list you've ever presented us with. Angelique Matthews.
You need to work on your penmanship, huh?
Well, I think what happened is some people for the read spoke up, signed up on this, so they've been scratched out since.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. It's always a privilege and an honor to speak in a free country. I did have my 3 minutes prepared. However, a teacher asked us to represent them and he couldn't show. And so I'm going to be speaking for Don Pearl from the Department of Hispanic Studies at the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley. And he has asked us to ask me, who is just a citizen, not from any group, asked me to read his statement. Here is where political stances on the spectrum of right and left are of no consequence. I have been an educator both in the United States and abroad since the 1970s. I taught English in Guadalajara, Mexico, and have taught English social studies and Spanish in community corrections and in the public schools of Colorado since 1982. Since 2002, I have taught Spanish and Chicano literature here at the University of Northern Colorado. I have students from all over the world, all with a variety of talents and interests. We are doing our children, public education, and indeed the democratic process a tragic disservice by bowing down to the golden calf that is the concept of Common Core. Educational policies form the bulwark of a vibrant democracy when they dignify the autonomy of our children and the professionalism of our educators. Let us seek to inspire the curiosity of our children and in so doing help them realize their own talents. Succumbing to the regime of standardization inherent in the Common Core program will do nothing to inspire. Quite the contrary, we run the risk of extinguishing the spark of intellect and human understanding so needed in such a troubled world. That was from Don Pearl, Department of Hispanic Studies. Do I have a couple more minutes?
Clock's dead, so I don't know.
A minute, okay. Well, that was from the teacher. From me, I have a quick question, and I know you can't answer, so I will send this to everyone in an email tomorrow. But I read an article that states that federal agents will be placed in schools. It says, under a new program implemented by the Education Czar, Arne Duncan, employees from the Federal Department of Education will be placed in schools throughout the nation to oversee the operations and ensure they are following federal guidelines and procedures. This doesn't sound so horrible until you remember that the federal government isn't supposed to have any hand in the education, and they're continually telling us that their role is limited. According to the website for the DOE, the Principal Ambassadors Fellowship, that's the organization, was created in order to implement needed reforms and to recognize the important impact that a principal has on instructional leadership, the school environment, and talent management, and to better connect the expertise and knowledge with education policy makers. So my question to you is, and I know you can't answer, but what is this? And I will send you this in an email tomorrow, and hopefully you can answer that for me.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank
Matthews.
You. Thank you.
Deborah Singer.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for the opportunity. As a citizen and a resident of the city and county of Denver, I speak on behalf, as a massage therapist, I have the unique opportunity to hear things from teachers and students of our schools in Colorado. And it's most amazing what people confide in me because they fear the loss of job by speaking out against the Common Core curriculum. I had a seventh grade teacher with a fifth grade daughter who was in absolute hysteria, tears, frustration because of the Common Core curriculum math program that she is bringing home for her homework. I also have students in high schools from Mountain Vista, Thunder Ridge, and Rock Canyon. These students have spoken to me while they're getting massages, and they said, you know, the thing I hate about school right now is it seems like we're always testing. It's like testing, testing, testing. And even a student whose teacher was so embarrassed to teach the sex education segment of her curriculum that she said, I am going to be honest with you as students. As a 16-year-old student, she said, I will not be able to teach this and not be red-faced. And the student said she had had some of the material that they got and brought home, and she said, you know what? I couldn't even tell my parents. She said, this embarrassed me. She said this goes against what I've been trained as a young lady of a respectable upbringing. And I share these things because I'm speaking for these people because if they speak out, one of my neighbors and numerous teachers have said because of the Common Core curriculum, they are looking at getting degrees elsewhere because they are so frustrated with what they are being forced to do and to teach. You know what I love? That every one of you are sitting up here, and even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, you're listening, and I appreciate that. These people could not be here to speak, so I am speaking for them. And I just want to say thank you so very much.
Thank you. Aaron Bergstrom.
Kind of tall. My name is Erin Bergstrom. I'm from Loveland up north, and all of my children were educated in the Thompson R2J district. And like you, I believe that children in this state deserve a great education and deserve to be guided into their own exceptional destiny. I want to talk about Common Core as well. I don't represent an organization. I am new to the issue. And I join citizens who have concerns about Common Core and what it could do to this state and to this nation. I don't envy your jobs. You have to sort through a great deal of information and come up with decisions that have widespread consequences. And you have to do it again with limited time. You're pressured on all sides. And like I said, I do respect that. All of you know more about Common Core than I do. And there are experts on this side of the table as well. And we all have great concerns about it. And one of my biggest concerns is that the standards of Common Core have not been adequately tested. They were rolled out relatively quickly. And, you know, it's interesting that there's such a great contrast between this situation and how all of you have thoroughly examined the Douglas County situation. There's so much graph, there's so much research, there's so much that goes into it. But the argument is that Common Core has not done that kind of due diligence. Basically, the Common Core tests have not been adequately tested. And our children will be guinea pigs for that. And this may become the next great failed educational experiment. And unfortunately, the consequences are going to be statewide as well as nationwide. In speaking of the Common Core being rolled out in different schools, in different districts, I know a young woman who is a neighbor. And she is bright and motivated and capable. She lasted 2 years in a low-income school in Greeley. And again, the Common Core was just being rolled out. The teachers were all having to deal with the new requirements. And she said it was difficult for her. The veteran teachers were having a real tough time. She ended up backing out of the system, doing something else. And, you know, one of the biggest things she said is that the needs of the special needs students were not adequately considered. They couldn't meet their needs. They were hamstrung by all the needs for testing. And it would take a lot of time and didn't give them the ability to be creative in meeting their children's needs. My time is up. Okay.
My phone's live, too, so we got you guys. thank you very much, Ms. Bergstrom.
All right, thank you, folks.
Carol Kirkstead.
excuse me. My name is Carol Kirkstadt, and I live in Loveland, Colorado. And first, I want to thank you all for recommending to the General Assembly that Colorado design our own assessments instead of participating in a multi-state project. The current plan to move from TCAP to PARCC tests really does need to be stopped. I agree with Chairman Lundeen that Colorado must remain true to its independent tradition and spirit and develop in Colorado, for Colorado, by Colorado, unique standards that will set the bar of learning achievement ever higher. It should be noted that there is lots of new news about education. Achievement in America and Colorado, however, has been relatively flat over the last 50 years. But other countries are taking different approaches and getting better results. If you haven't read this book about the smartest kids in the world, is a discussion of education in Finland, North Korea, and Poland. I'm sure you've also heard of education developments in Singapore. In support of Chairman Lundeen's statement, it would be useful to note that Colorado's population is a little over 5 million. This is about the same size as Finland and Singapore. So let's focus on Colorado's needs. Currently, of course, Colorado is following people like Bill Gates, Dave Coleman, and Michael Johnson here in Colorado. And however, there is no evidence that their leadership is currently improving our performance. Also across America, there is growing opposition to Common Core, multi-state testing, the two multi-state testing consortiums, and data mining. It's really time to change. So far, all we see is some tactical action with the CDE West Ed assessment and HP 1202 with the task force that hopefully is going to look at assessment activity this summer and fall. It's now 5 years since Colorado updated their standards. It's great that you folks have made a statement about PARC, but isn't it time to recommend that we really need to look for a new strategic plan for K through 12 education here in Colorado. And please do not confuse quantity with quality. A short document with clear goals, assumptions, and the skills that they need to acquire. What's really worth learning would be much preferred to pages of outcomes. Arts, drama, theater, and music now are 500 pages of Colorado academic standards. So are we fixing yesterday's problems or making changes to meet the requirements of today and foreseeable future? We can do a much better job of helping our children thrive in a modern world. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kirkstead. Sherry Gibson.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sherry Gibson. I'm from Colorado Springs, although a member of several organizations, I'm here today as a mom and an educator. What I like most about education is that it gives me the flexibility when I taught to say, hey, she learns like this, he learns like that. And so I was able to adapt my style of teaching to their style of learning. And I feel like we're losing that with Common Core. A lot of things have been covered. We hear the statistics, and I've heard them from both sides. And I know that you all don't need to be re-educated about the facts of it. But what I've found is that in the minority community, a lot of things that get left behind are the students and their viability. How can the students really achieve their maximum potential? If a student is failing today, raising the standards tomorrow doesn't make that student then a passing student. I would like to implore, ladies and gentlemen, you all to find a way to work with teachers, parents, legislators, and concerned citizens to do what's best for Colorado students. It gives me great heart to hear when you're all talking about this school in Douglas County and this program and how it really is about the kids, because that's what I always go back to. My kids, your kids, grandkids. I look at this as a four-pronged approach. The first of which is assessing where students are at currently. The second part would be to address the outside factors that are inhibiting success. Because we think about testing. And it's not always about what's going on inside of the classroom. A lot of times it's about what's going on outside of the classroom. If a child is going through food insecurity, they're still not going to be able to concentrate. They're still not going to be able to get to that next level. If there's dysfunction at home, then they're not going to be able to achieve their maximum potential. So I would suggest that we look at that as the second part of the approach. The third is looking for ways to motivate. I also volunteer with high school students and have for several years, and a lot of them are bright and energetic, and they know exactly what they want to do. But some are not. Some are lacking that motivation and that direction and guidance. So I think if we turn resources to there and look at ways that we can motivate students, then we will get to where we want to with those standards. Finally, to raise the standards incrementally, not to make that necessarily big jump, but perhaps just increase it steadily over a course of several years. It's the bell. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gibson. Deanna Massiantonio.
You did that well.
Am I close on your name there?
You're very close. Yes. You're good. That's good. But thank you. I appreciate you all listening. I know it's been a long day for you. God bless you. I've been listening to this whole Common Core issue for about 2 years now, and I'm very concerned about it. I'm a former teacher of 32 years. I loved my job. I know many teachers who are still teaching, and I also know some that have left because of Common Core and other issues about the pressures that are coming down on them. They have left to go to private schools for half the pay. Their families have had to suffer because of it. But they were willing to make that choice because their conscience would not allow them to follow through with these mandates, though they're told to us that they're not mandates. Anyway, what I've seen down here, happening with everyone trying to solve the issues with education. It's all honorable. I know everyone's trying. They all have different ideas, two different sides, how to deal with it. But I started looking at it at another perspective, and I'm thinking, you know, this is much larger, because under our Constitution, we have been the longest constitutional republic, and it is an unknown accomplishment in modern history. During the last 200 years, France has had 15 constitutions. In the last 100 years, Russia has had 4. Afghanistan has had 5. Poland has had 7. And our Constitution has allowed this country to have more prosperity, freedom, and opportunity for all people, more than any other democracy or government that our modern history has known. And yet, we're trying to do a runaround on our Constitution when it comes to Common Core. And even though it's very subtle, and I'm not criticizing any of you, I think it's just a very subtle deception that has come in. And that's what is concerning me at this point. It's when they say, we don't have to really follow Amendment 10 exactly like it says there. We can find ways to legally change the jargon and get around that. And we're told that Common Core was a state-led initiative, yet Common Core standards were initiated by private interests in Washington, D.C. without any representation from the states. And you know all of this. You don't need to hear it all again, so I won't go into all the details. But I know you've heard it. We've also been told that the federal government is not involved in Common Core, yet the U.S. Department of Education was deeply involved in the meetings that led up to the creation of the Common Core. Furthermore, it has poured hundreds of millions of dollars into the two consortia that are creating the national tests. We are told that the states... Anyway, my point is that I think we're walking on slippery territory. Let's take our time, look back, and be careful. Thank you.
Thank you. Anita Stapleton.
Thank you, State Board of Education and Commissioner Hammond, for listening to my concerns regarding education in Colorado. I am Anita Stapleton from Pueblo County. I am privileged to enter into evidence 109 letters of opposition to the Common Core state standards and all of its mandates, bringing this grassroots effort to a total of 2,530 authentic, one-time-only signatures in only 8 months. I am also here to register my opposition to the CDE promoting districts to contract with yet another special interest group, Bill Gates-funded company, Randa Solutions, a company designed to collect the excessive intrusive data on our students, parents, and teachers, formulate assessments for teacher evaluations, and redirect structure and curriculum to achieve teacher effectiveness.
Say the name of the organization.
Randa Solutions, and it was R-A-N-D-A, posted on the CDE agenda.
Thank you.
And this is per a quote from their website. In December 2012, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation provided a non-exclusive license to Randa for technology to enable classroom instructional Rubik Observer certification. Randa is enhancing and commercializing the technology, which consists of an online platform for education administrators and observers to analyze and score video content delivered through a streaming video player. It allows for users to provide custom rankings to measures applied to individual video resources sourced from the Measures of Effective Teaching, MET project, which was also funded by the Gates Foundation. Furthermore, I am concerned and protest the continued monopoly banking on our students as human capital. As quoted by the Colorado Education Initiative, formerly known as the Legacy Foundation, this is their quote, "For our nation to lead in a global society, we must maximize the potential of every student to contribute as engaged and productive members of a 21st century economy and community." This is a Gates-funded organization partnered with 4 Colorado school districts, with Thompson leading the charge. Once again, substantiating for me, one of the end goals of the Common Core State Standards Initiative is the huge financial profit for the stakeholders, all at student and teacher expense. To conclude, I urge this board to refuse to adopt the next generation sciences. I expect that each board member has or intends to read the Fordham Institute final evaluation that I provided you that looked just like this last fall. In my opinion, these standards mirror the next generation. I have been reviewing the Colorado Academic Science Standards that were posted by the CDE. In my opinion, these standards mirror the next generation sciences, and I believe intentionally. This actually sets the CDE to utilize WestEd once again to perform another gap analysis, and my prediction is a narrow margin of alignment will be concluded. I am disgusted with the resources recommended to students and teachers to meet these standards: YouTube, informational text, and SparkNotes. Colorado citizens are awake and aware of the heavy influence that Gates and the Carnegie Corporation has through the shared learning collaboratives that guided the Colorado academic standards in 2009.
Thanks, Anita. I gave you a little extra time because I interrupted you.
I was going to say, that's why my voice starts shaking, because I was hurting.
No sweat. You're fine. Arlisha McGrath. Arlisha?
Hi, my name is Arlisha McGrath, and I spoke last month over at Grand Junction. I'm on my way back to Germany tomorrow, so I'm glad I have this opportunity to speak one more time. Thank you. Interesting today, I do work for the Air Force. I'm a Department of Defense employee in early childhood. I'm a training and curriculum specialist. Interesting today, Anita and I went over to Panera Bread and met a young teacher there today, and she saw our shirts. They asked if we were protesting Common Core, and I said, I'm not a protester because I can't protest. I'm just rallying and supporting. Anyway, I interviewed her because she taught preschool, Head Start, and kindergarten, and that's right along my training, expertise, and education. She elaborated on her experience with T.S. Gold, and that it is mandated in Colorado now, and we talked about this last month as well. As a Head Start teacher, she had to implement it, and interesting, she failed their training 8 times, and a lot of it was on the social-emotional aspects of child development, which I find kind of ironic for children under the age of 5, because that's the most important thing for them. One of the things that she highlighted was that the teachers had no time for the children during the day. They had 1 hour of play. For a child under the age of 5, that is so not okay. It's not developmentally appropriate. And everything was rated on a scale from 1 to 10 based on where the child's needs were or what they learned. If a child didn't comprehend something and scored maybe a 2 or a 3, they basically were left behind. There was no time to come back for the teacher to help the child comprehend. So it kind of led me into talking about what is developmentally appropriate practice for a preschooler. I don't know that I'll make it through my whole 3 minutes, but I'm going to sure try. Preschool children learn best when they have positive and caring relationships with adults and other children. They need to receive carefully planned, intentional guidance and assistance. They need opportunities to safely encounter and explore many interesting things in their environment. Children enter preschool with different strengths. And my big question is how does Teaching Strategies Gold meet these individual needs, and how does it support it? Preschoolers thrive when they can experience new materials, roles, ideas, activities, especially pretend play, take great interest in feelings, and become better able to express their emotions, identify those of others, make important cognitive gains that invite them to represent their world in pretend play, symbols, objects, drawings, and words, and show astonishing gains in language skills. Nowhere in there should be assessment testing. My very last page, because I'm not going to be able to get through the whole thing.
Last sentence.
Yes. Common Core standards were to begin at kindergarten and were not meant to describe what a preschooler should know and be able to do. Early childhood educators should focus on age-appropriate content and foundational experiences rather than teaching content intended for older children.
Thank you.
Thank
Best
you.
Speed in your travels to Germany and in your service.
Thank you very much.
Maureen Seeloff.
Is Jordan
down there? Good evening. I'm Maureen Seeloff. I'm a grandmother from Littleton. I'm speaking for myself.
And Common Core, I feel, is wrong on so many levels. Dumbing down our kids so that they fit into a federal mold, what the government thinks they should be and what they should learn, is so wrong. The Common Core curriculum is below Colorado's prior standards, as it is in many states. And four more states have dropped out recently of Common Core, which brings that to 10 states who have rejected Common Core, with many others on the way. One day last semester, my granddaughter came home from school, told me she had no homework because her teacher didn't understand the math and she couldn't teach it to the children, so they got a day free of homework. How many times has this happened across the country? Eliminating the classics in favor of pornographic novels and technical instruction manuals, I don't feel that is education. And I'd like a guarantee from the board that this will not happen in Colorado. Our children and teachers are weighed down with countless hours of testing. As more teachers go through these tests and discover the nightmare of Common Core, they are coming out against Common Core but are afraid for their jobs and cannot stand up and say so. So the unions think that they have the monopoly, but they really don't. Last year we said goodbye to In Bloom. This year we say hello to Randa. There is no difference. You are violating everyone's right to privacy by collecting multiple data on students and their whole extended family without our express permission. I would like this to stop. And I would like the CDE to sever the relationships with the special interest groups such as Bill Gates, WestEd, Randa, Legacy Foundation, and others. We have no business partnering with people like Bill Gates. I would like you to publicize to the media, parents, and school districts the fact that school districts can opt out of Common Core. I would also like you to publicize to every parent in Colorado who has a child in school that they can opt out of testing, and there will be no ramifications and punishments for the students if they do that. Federal watchdogs being put into schools. This is definitely a Big Brother's watching you, and I know that's on the increase. But in closing, I'll just say, who's going to pay for all of this? Millions of dollars. Who's going to pay?
Mark Bronlich.
Good evening. My name is Mark Bronlich.
You're absolutely correct.
You have a lot of endurance. I'm an attorney. I reside in Colorado Springs. I give talks on constitutional law to different groups and how it affects in light of certain issues that are important to the American public. I also teach at a constitutional camp for children during the summer down there. But I'm testifying because I used to be a teacher in a previous life. I taught secondary school in California, in the Netherlands, and also in Russia, computer networking, mathematics, physics. It was a real eye-opener to me to actually be in the classroom and what I learned. And I think, you know, listening to the comments here, it always provokes thought when I hear other people speak. And I think Common Core would make sense if it was spelled C-O-R-P-S, Common Core. Because what this is an attempt to standardize our children. That's what's common about it, to create this kind of core. And it's not C-O-R-E, it's C-O-R-P-S. Yogi Berra once said, when you come to a fork in a road, take it. And I think that's where you are right now. I think that's where Colorado is. That's where the state of education is. One fork is, do we give more money and more control to a central bureaucratic planning of curriculum testing and budgets? That's one road. Or the other road is, do we decentralize the system and have education dollars follow the students? Those are really the two paths. There's nothing really in between. I think Common Core really pushes that issue. Option one is increasing, this is kind of Soviet speak, I guess, the iron grip of an ossified 19th century government education bureaucracy over the lives of children, parents, teachers, on-site administrators, and the local community. This system of centralized control, in connection with large amounts of dollars earmarked by federal and state budgets, attract corporate lobbyists and incentivizes a cronyism between corporate interests and government interests. And this is something that's on full display in the development and implementation of Common Core. This system truly squelches innovation. And I have to say it, but it is a form of bullying. I was on the end of it. I know what it feels like, and people here feel the same thing. Teachers afraid to speak, students that don't like it. It's a form of institutionalized bullying. It's abuse. It's a central bureaucratic planning is a coercive force. It mandates and dictates, oppress the spirit of those it coerces. The students, the teachers, the parents, on-site administrators, they are forced to do things against what they know would be better. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And I was concerned earlier this afternoon, and I didn't see you, George. So our last speaker is today Dr. George Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the board and audience. My great-granddaughter had a very positive experience with preschool. From going from 3 to 4, she's got me more in touch with my former elementary school Montessori teaching in the first grade and other grades. She's also trying to teach me a little bit about the Internet. Anyhow, regarding Common Core, I've been saying to you for many years that people of color have been objecting to standardized tests and quote-unquote Common Core since the 1920s. And nothing personal, but now Anglos are concerned that their culture isn't being represented, just as people of color have been saying for 90 years, our interests, values, standards are not fairly represented. The issue is fairness, and I have every confidence that Dr. Owens, our assistant commissioner, is a very fair man with a lot of integrity, as all of you are. I don't always agree with you, but I don't question your integrity. And when it comes to Common Core and Colorado exercising this board, exercising veto power of it, I am sure that you're able to, but I must remind you, we're last in the nation funding higher education, about last closing the ethnic achievement gap, 42nd in the nation funding K through 12, and we really cannot afford our uniquely owned program. But we certainly must work hard to make sure Colorado values are fairly represented. And thirdly, speaking as a man approaching 80, I can remember the Second World War and the issue of the St. Louis and Jewish issues by Ashkenazi Jewish relatives and people in Chicago who were very well aware that some of the people returned ended up in those death camps. Now, our sister states in Arizona, Texas is not continuous with Colorado, but it's awfully close. There's over 2,000 indigenous K through 12 children, kids from Central America now incarcerated, and I use that word, and I don't mean for it to be a scare word, but when people are locked up, that's what happens. And Colorado is not that far off, and are we, you all, the conscience of K through 12 education in state, the conscience of 12 education, are we going to allow those children to return to conditions that are unacceptable in Central America? One of the biggest mistakes, many people in the Jewish committee think that Franklin D. Roosevelt, our president in the 40s, the ship was from Hamburg, 1939, it had to go back. Are these young indigenous students from Central America going to have to go back? Are we in Colorado going to act as a conscience and say something proactive has to be done? Excuse me, I had a cold last week in bed most of the morning. I feel strongly about this, my Ashkenazi Jewish conscience. is still there. We can't let it happen. We have to do something. There are budgetary issues. There are moral issues. And this board is an elected board that has something to say about K through 12 education.
Thank you. I'm sorry about
that. Thank you, George. We got a glass of water coming to you right now.
I didn't know it was quite this bad. I would have stayed away.
Thank you, George.
And if you got a sanitary napkin, let's dust off the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's the list of everybody who signed up. Is there anybody else who's here who would like to speak that did not sign up? Please state your name and where you hail from.
I actually had my name on there, but I thought I was going to have to leave. And
did I cross you off? Yeah. Or somebody else must have.
Kim Gilmartin. I'm a parent of three children in Jefferson County, all under the age of fifth grade. I'm up here just to implore that you guys please push legislators to repeal Common Core, at least delay it until there's more testing. You've heard everything there is to say about it, really, from everybody back here, but my own personal experience has mostly been with the math and just how ridiculous it is and not being able to help my children and the teachers not being able to help and everybody being very frustrated. But the one thing you haven't heard is that I personally have about 15 friends that are going to homeschool next year because of this. And I just hate to see so many parents taking their kids out of the public school system, especially where we live. And if this doesn't get repealed and it just goes on, I will probably be doing the same thing, even though I don't think I'd be very good at homeschooling. I'll have to do something. And I also know that there are a number of parents that are looking at these other schools that are charter schools that are starting out that have something called Core Knowledge. There's one that's opening up in Golden in 2015, and there's one that's in Parker now that's got about 1,500 kids on the waiting list. So, you know, this is just showing you how serious this is and that people will be pulling their kids out of the school. So I just implore you to do something. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And with that, unless there's anyone else who'd like to speak, we will stand in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.